We've been studying prayer over the last couple of weeks, and we're going through for the next few weeks, but the first couple of weeks of it have been really tough things. It's like how God drives people to pray, how God causes us to come to Him, usually by hardships. You know, a lot of times the foxhole prayers, the people are making fun of me and the persecution, or the I don't know where to turn, or, you know, when you're standing alone or have to stand alone or stand beside someone else, you go to God, God, please give me the strength. Please give me. And I can imagine a lot of the pastors in India are praying for that. But they're kind of hard things that drive us to prayers from the cave. But today, I got an easy thing for you today. Today is kind of a fun thing. Kind of one of the last things that drive us to God that we're going to study, and we'll go on a different aspect of prayer, but something much easier that causes us to go to God in prayer, and it's praise and worship. Praise and worship. How often am I standing here singing some of the songs that this group leads us in, and I'm just singing the words, I'm saying, God, here's my voice, here's my, and all of a sudden, it just feels like some of these words are prayers to God. Okay, and I find myself praying to God through some of the words, and so it's kind of like how do you pray to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? And I think praise is just an awesome part of that. And so we're going to teach that today. But I thought instead of me trying to teach you praise and worship and what we do, I think we've got an amazing woman of God that leads us in praise and worship all the time. And so I asked Abby if she would be willing to teach on this subject today and to lead us in this subject today. And I'm really excited to... Here, so teach and lead. Do you have a microphone?
I do. That's how I feel right now. It's maybe a little loud. There we go. Oh, hi. I just first want to say thank you so much for allowing me to stand in this spot. This is a heavy place to stand. I didn't realize it. We have such an amazing pastor that leads us, and I feel very honored and very humbled to borrow this spot today and have an opportunity to share some truth with you all. This church means so much to me. Well, you all probably know, but like when I married Bob, I moved up to this community from Lancaster County, and I knew nobody outside of my in-laws pretty much. And you guys have become my family, and like my whole community is this church. And for my children and my husband, we are so hugely grateful for all of you. So just wanted to start by saying thank you so much for who you all are. Like Pastor Bob said, we've been talking about some things that, like situations or circumstances that drive a believer to pray, to communicate with God. And the one that I've been asked to talk about is what we call praise, which is really talking to God about Him. It's talking, speaking our praise and worship of Him. I am not an expert at this at all, but I am so convinced that this is a very, very important part of our relationship with God. And it's something that He has made a strong point to encourage us to involve in our personal time with Him. And also when we do this, when we gather together, praise should be present. So first, let's define what that is. What is praise according to the Bible? Praise is a word that is specifically used for any verbalized worship of God. So it's giving God worship specifically through speaking or singing out loud. We try as the praise ministry here at PGCC, we try very intentionally to call ourselves a praise team rather than a worship team. And it's probably semantics, but we would not want to accidentally communicate that worship is singing, because worship is so much more than singing songs to God. Worship can be any act of obedience, where this whole service is a worship service. So praise is specifically giving God worship through song or through speaking our praise of Him. So that's why we call ourselves a praise team, in case you ever wondered why we're not a worship team. Although we fall under that heading also. Where do we see praise mentioned in the Word of God? Because if it's something that we take time, valuable time on a Sunday morning to do, and we are being encouraged to incorporate into our personal time with God, we probably should know where it says that in the Word of God. And the answer is everywhere. It says it all over the place in the Bible. We see examples of men and women who have been experienced God's goodness to them, who have been delivered out of something or have been given a victory from the Lord, or that God has just spoken some sort of prophecy into their life. And then they respond with praise by speaking their adoration and their love and their thankfulness to God. So we see examples of it from the lives that are depicted in the Bible. We also have lots of explicit commands to praise all throughout the Word of God. And, well, for example, Psalm 34 says, "Sing the praises of the Lord, you his faithful people. Praise his holy name." So that's just one of hundreds that say pretty much that same thing. And the Bible also includes some instructions for how to praise. So if God's making the point in his revealed word and will to us, the Holy Bible, if he makes the point that we should praise, then it's good to understand why and what that should look like. In particular, in the Word of God, we have an amazing example in the life of King David, because a lot of the precedent that we use in our church and also in that we encourage in like your personal life comes from the example that he modeled. We have access to so many of his personal communications with God. The Psalms, a lot of them, most of them were written by David. Some of them are even songs that he wrote for his like people to sing together. So we see how the role that it played, his pattern of praising God in his personal life. And then when he was a king in his own kingdom, he established musicians that their sole purpose was to lead the people in singing praises of God. And he set up times for that to happen. And if you're interested in reading about what that looked like, you can read about it in 1st and 2nd Chronicles mainly, although it's mentioned in other places. So he established a lot of precedent, and that's why we take the time to do this in church together on Sunday morning and in our personal lives too. So we see that there is clearly a biblical precedent. There is a command to praise. So what exactly are we saying when we praise? What should be the content of our praise to God? When I look through the Psalms, I'm actually reading through them again right now in my own quiet time. When I look and try to follow the thread of praise that I see in the Psalms, really, I think that the reasons that David goes to the Lord with praise fall into three categories. First category that I see is that David gives the Lord praise for things that he had done in his life, things that God had accomplished in the life of David that he was giving him thanks for. So this was like victories that God brought to David, the times that he delivered David out of danger, the healing that he brought to him, the protection that he gave him, the patience that God showed him. These are all things that God had done in the life of David that he praised God for in like remembrance. So that's the first reason that David would praise the Lord. The second reason that I see is that he would just start praising God because of who God was. Like he would just start listing off attributes of the Lord, that he is strong, that he's merciful, that he is sovereign, that he's mighty, that he's good, that he's kind. All of the character of God is something that David would constantly be praising the Lord for. So he praised him for things that he had done. He praised him for who he was. And then the third category that I see is that David would give the Lord praise for things that he had yet to do, or things that he promised to do. So these are like future praises. So like the eternal hope that he had, for the deliverance that David was trusting the Lord would give him, for the belief and the hope that the Lord would uphold him as he continued to be obedient. All of these, he uses the phrase from everlasting to everlasting a lot when he describes God, to talk like in reference to his goodness or his kindness, that God is good from everlasting to everlasting. That's like he's good all the way in the past, and he will be good all the way in the future as far as we can imagine. So a lot of the praise that David gave to the Lord was looking forward. So we have praise for what God had done, praise for who God is, and the character of God that's currently impacting, and praise for what God was going to do in the future. This is really poignant, I think, for us as believers to kind of wrap our minds around, because to me, those reasons, those categories seem pretty all-encompassing of our lives, don't they? Like, when are we ever not going to be in one, at least, or all of those scenarios? And we always have a reason based on those categories to be giving God praise. There's always something we can remember that he's done. There's always something we can be thankful in his current, present nature. And something that we are thankful that we can hope. At the very least, I hope your salvation and the future glory that's coming for us is something that should always be on our lips, that kind of praise. So it is becoming clear when we really look at the Word of God that praise is past, present, and future tense. It's broad and wide. That's why David says in Psalm 71:8, my mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. Psalm 71:15, my mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, of your saving acts all day long, though I know not how to recount them all. Psalm 145:2, every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. And Hebrews 13:15, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. This is something that God is making very clear, that the praise part of our relationship with him should be continual. It's constant, really. It's ever ongoing. Are you picking up on that from these scriptures? So we've been given an example of very continuous praise. And I know that I'm not telling you anything that you haven't heard before there, but I think it's good to note the things that kind of trip us up sometimes. And I think as humans, especially in our culture, we can fall into this habit of, I'll just call it religious praise, where it's, you know, it's an act of religion. It's an act of routine. So it's predetermined. It's rote. It's oftentimes detached from like any active mental process. It's detached from your emotions. That's when, you know, like when you sit down to pray and you're like, oh, I should probably like say thank you for something. That way I don't feel bad about all the requests I'm about to make. Have you ever thought that? I've thought that. But it's like habit. That is not the kind of praise. That's like when God says, like, you know, he doesn't want sacrifice and offering just because that's what we do. He's more pleased with the giving of your heart. It should be something that we are consciously engaged in. So if that's like religious praise, then in contrast, praise that comes, that overflows from like an active relationship with God is fresh. It's ever growing. It's connected to your emotions. Your mind's not passive in it. It's actively engaged in the process of giving the Lord praise. So we have an example of continuous praise. We know that we are supposed to be like connected to that with our minds and our emotions, praising God for things that he has done, praising him for who he is, and praising him for things that he will do. So that's kind of like the model that we've been given. So let's talk about the why. Because if God's making such an issue out of this topic of praise, wanting us to live this kind of lifestyle, why? Because he doesn't do things arbitrarily that I can see. Heart, like never. He does things very intentionally and most of the time for our good. So let's talk about why. We know that praise pleases God, and we know this because like we said, the word of God, the Bible that we have is like the revealed will and heart of God. It's his revealed truth to us. In the Bible, there's something like, we are encouraged / commanded to praise God something like 250 times. And that's a lot. That's a lot of statements about praising the Lord and commands to do so. So we know that it's something that pleases God because when we do what he has said to do, he's pleased. What is interesting to me is that when I look at these passages about praise, I don't see a passage that talks about God getting any benefit from it. I don't really see any passage that's like, this is what praise does for the Lord. He doesn't depend on it. He doesn't gain any power from it, and he does not need our affirmation. So if we are laboring under the idea that praise is somehow for him, that's not correct. I don't see that in Scripture. Praise is not for God. So if it's not something that we do for him, then what is its purpose? I'm convinced more and more as I look through Scripture that praise is almost entirely for our benefit. The Psalm 147 says, praise the Lord, how good it is to sing praises to our God, how pleasant and fitting to praise him. And I think this is talking not about like, it's not talking about the God part of it. It's saying that it's good for us. It's pleasant and fitting for us to praise the Lord. The emphasis here, I think, the benefit here is mainly on our side. And here's why. Here's the benefits that I think that God, in his goodness, has asked us to praise because we get some really cool things out of it. So one of them is that praising God strengthens and affirms our relationship with him. And now, I said that there's no benefit for God or that I don't see that explicitly, but God wants relationship with us, right? So if we are actively engaging in that relationship, I think God would feel that that's a benefit. But still, it's for us. It's for our good. God has used the metaphor of solid rock, solid ground, firm foundation. That's how he has, that's one of the ways that he has, you know, talked about himself in our, like in our relationship, that when we are in relationship with God, he is our firm footing. He is our solid ground. He's our firm foundation. You've heard that phrase before. Yes. God uses that phrasing, I think, very intentionally. What happens when we praise the Lord is that we are strengthening that firm foundation. We're like standing on the truth of God and on our relationship. And when we choose to remember things that he has done, or when we choose to state and declare who he is, and when we choose to put our trust and praise God in advance for the things that he will do, it's like shoring up that foundation. It's strengthening it. It's maintaining it so that it stays firm beneath our feet. This is how I think of it. Have you ever, this might not apply to all of you, have you ever studied for an exam? or maybe you've known a nursing major, because if you have, then you've known someone who's been studying for an exam for years and years. Part of the learning process is like when a teacher or a guide or a counselor imparts knowledge to you. You learn it initially. So somebody has taught you something. And then you, the next part, probably should be the student, like by force of will, goes by themselves and rehearses the facts that they have learned, right? Like you use your flashcards and you go through the information over and over and over again. You remember what you have learned. And the reason that you do that is so that in the moment of testing, you don't have that like, oh, I don't know the answer and I'm going to flunk. Or you maybe you just don't care. But if you're somebody that cares about that kind of stuff, then you have that like freak out moment. The reason that you do the studying on your own is so that when you get to that point, that doesn't happen. Instead, you can sit there and feel confident, like, I know these answers. And you don't have that wavering back and forth kind of thing. I honestly feel that praise, one of the purposes of praise is to kind of fulfill that role in our lives. So when God has taught us so many things through the Word of God, through Pastor Bob, through the things that he reveals to us through his Word, he is teaching us through experiences. We are learning about him. We're learning what is true. We're learning the facts of our God and our faith. And so when we choose to verbalize what we have learned, it is strengthening that. It's like studying. It's like studying so that in the moment of our spiritual testing, we know the answer. It's there. We can recall it in a moment, and we don't have to feel like, I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know what truth applies here. Because when we pick songs, we try to pick the ones that say the most truth. You know, when you say, Lord, thank you that you did this thing in my life. Thank you that you are good and mighty and strong and trustworthy. When we just say those things out loud, it's like going through the flashcards so that it's there. And when we feel like we're under pressure in being tested, we don't have to go back to the book and try to find what applies. We've been reviewing it the whole time. Does that make sense? Praise is like, it's what strengthens that firm foundation. The other thing that I think praise does for us, a benefit and a purpose, this might sound like it's not a benefit, but it really is. Basically, it reminds us of our position in relation to God, or at least it should. This is what praise should do. We should be reminded of our position in relation to God. And what I mean by that is that we have to remember our starting point, because before we choose to be citizens of heaven, we're citizens of this earth, and the prince of this earth is the devil, Lucifer, Satan. We belong to his kingdom until we choose to leave it. And so we have his nature. And what did he want way back in the beginning? What was the thing that Lucifer desired? He wanted to be like God. He wanted to be equal with God. So we are fighting a nature that is continually magnifying us and feeling like I can do what God can do. I am powerful. I am mighty. This is what we need to fight, and praise is a huge tool in this, because when we praise, we're not choosing to lift him up, because God is up. He is that. There is nothing that could happen to God that would make him like bow down, that we need to prop him up. So praise is not really like an act of lifting for God's sake. Really what it is an act of humbling for us. We're not making him bigger because that is what he is, but we maybe are making us smaller. We need to have the focus during praise. Part of the purpose is to bring us down to our right size so that we can see him clearly. You know what I mean? What was the song? I'm not going to look up the lyrics. While we were singing that last song, when it says, there was one line, sorry, I didn't plan to say this. This is going to be really jumbly. That said, like, I see God. We can only really see him when we're out of the way, you know, and see the fullness of who he is. And then we become aware that we are small. We're lacking in power. We're not worthy. We have no inherent value. There's no good that we can do on our own. And that sounds like a major downer until you remember that in 1 Peter, God has said to humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may lift you up. So it sounds like, oh, why would I want to think of myself so small? But we know, and we talk about this all the time because it's so true. When we feel that and understand our size in relation to God, our place in relation to him, then we understand his power. We can go to him with full dependence. And when David says things like, I delight in God, that's because there's nothing in me to delight in. And I'm aware of that. Do you know what I mean? So that's when we can honestly say with a heart like of, with honesty, not like I'm trying to feel this way about God, but I honestly delight in him because he's the only good I have. And then he becomes our like true joy. Praise is a process through which this should be happening. You have to engage with that process, which we'll talk about in a second, but that is part of, like, that is a huge good that praise does for us, bringing us down to size so that God is lifted up, but that's not the point of it. It's really, yeah, I'm just repeating myself now. Okay, so I am no kind of expert at this. I am learning this with all of us, but what I am is fully on board. I am completely convinced of the good of these concepts, that praise is such a crucial part of our relationship with God, and there's so much good in the practice of speaking aloud or singing aloud our adoration of him. When I look at what prayers of praise do for us, I think that we get the sweeter end of the deal. But lastly, I'm about to move in a slightly different direction, but I want to talk about what I call the vehicle of praise in terms of our church service, which is music. It's basically, praise is not just music, like we said. It can be just speaking out loud your praise to the Lord. But the method that we use to accomplish praise, like in a unified sense, is music. First thing to say about that is that praise has very little, actually, to do with music. It's not about music. It's not about style. It's not about instrumentation. It's not about good singers or the look of the stage or any of that. And you guys know that. You're amazing at, yeah. But it's not about music. The reason that we use music is that it's a very convenient way for us to join together with one voice. And I think I might have said it before. I have been in church services where they do the, like, for the next 2 minutes, just everybody sing your own song to the Lord. And like, it's cool, but it's also chaotic, and it's really nice. It makes me appreciate when I experience that, it makes me appreciate having a means through which we can all sing the same truth at the same time. You know what I mean? There is power in us all saying the same unified praise to the Lord. And music just lets us do that. It's like, it provides the backbeat. It provides the vehicle. Also, God has created music so that it is an emotional language. It connects very strongly with our emotions. And we all know that, but that is such an effective tool because when we come here on a Sunday morning or when you open up your Bible to have your quiet time, there are, you know, what often is the thing that kind of stands in opposition to truth? It's usually our feelings, the way that we feel about something. Our feelings, we have to understand, come from our heart. And God has said that our heart is deceitful above all things. So feelings are they need to be reflecting truth. And if they're not, they need to be made to reflect truth. They need to be altered, like you need to choose different feelings. So music is a language that taps into your feelings. So if you come in here, for example, and let's say it was a rough morning or a rough week and your feelings are like, then when we sing, it's a language that lets you kind of soften. God just starts to work so that when Pastor Bob gets up with so much truth to share, our feelings are not like, no. They're able to be kind of penetrated. You know what I mean? So that's another role that music, and also, as my mother-in-law would say, music is sticky. So if one of the points is to remember truth, music is just, Have you ever used music to study for a test? I was that nerd. Okay. music is just a great way to remember what's true. It just lends itself to that. So that's why we do music. That's why we choose that as a method of praising God. So that's the why and like the precedent historically and biblically, the how and the why of praise as a concept. In a nutshell, let me just quickly review what we just said in case I was confusing. There's a biblical precedent and command for praise. This is in the Bible. It is a command. So boom. Praise is given for what God has done, for who he is, and for what he will do. So if you're wondering, like, I would like to praise God more, but for what? There's some ideas. Praise is for our benefit, to strengthen our relationship with God, and to remember our place in humility in relationship to him, so that his power can work the most effectively. We're not always made weak because situations show us our weakness. Sometimes we can choose to remember that we're weak. And that's kind of nicer sometimes because then we can bypass the trial and just be like, I choose to see myself as weak right now. So Lord, work. And then he does. And music is a great tool for worshiping God. So that's what we've said up to this point. So now switching gears, I would like to take just a second to look at us here, specifically PGCC, Family of God. And I don't know, maybe just assess how we're doing in this area. Let me first say, you guys are amazing. Like, you do such a good job with praise, and I'm so, so fortunate. I feel so humbled and blessed to stand here and sing with, join my voice of praise with yours every week. It is an honor, so thank you for that. If we talk about churches and praising, there's two things that generally trip people up in the church setting when it comes to praise. One is that they become distracted by music or the emotions. Like that, though the vehicle of praise distracts from the purpose of praise. And that looks like, you know, being overly concerned with the style of the songs or the volume, and I know we're loud sometimes, but the volume of the songs or the look of the stage or the skill level of the band. Those kind of things become bigger than they should be. Or the emotion. Sometimes if you are a person that likes to feel emotion, then praise, because it's an emotional language, it sort of takes you to this like surge of like, ah, yay. Sometimes for certain people, that can become a distraction where it's like, if I'm not feeling that emotional, like, yeah, jazzed state, then I'm not praising God effectively. This was not an effective praise time. You know what I mean? So in some places, the vehicle can become a distraction for some believers. The other end of the extreme is that people, believers, can go into the praise time passively. So it's like the whole opposite, the flip side of the coin. The exercise of praise is completely lost on them. And it's just like stand, sing, sit. It's just that part of the service. Or stand, sing, go to the bathroom, come back, stand, look around. And I think I did share, that was me for a while. I didn't get it for a phase of my life. So in either case, the benefit of praise is going to be severely diminished. So how are we doing in PGCC, if I may be so bold as to assess and evaluate our state here? I think that you guys are better than any church I have ever seen or been a part of when it comes to that first area. You people do not get distracted by music or style. I mean, we can make all kinds of mistakes. We can break guitar strings and start songs, forget to turn on our instruments, and you guys are like, it's cool. We'll just praise God anyway. So you're amazing. I love the easygoing praise style of this community. I literally never heard a complaint. And I grew up with a praise-leading father at, like, a couple different churches. And, like, I remember the car rides home where he would be like, oh, like, four people came up today and told me that song was too loud. And, you know, always hearing complaints. I've never experienced that, so I feel like I have it really good. You guys are very, very easy in that way. And I don't hear any talk about volume. I don't hear any talk about, like, you know, you guys aren't good enough. So thank you. I think that you have the right perspective where the first area is concerned. So is there a way that we can grow? Oh, before I move on, I do want to say, as a praise team, we also have that perspective. We are not overly, and I can say that, I'm telling you that so that you can have confidence in us. I can say that honestly, we keep on ourselves about keeping the right perspective in our ministry. We don't let ourselves think too much about the style or too much about being perfectionist or too much about the music. So know that. And if we ever do, it will probably become clear, or a pastor will talk to us, or you can tell us, but I don't know, whatever. Anyway, so can we grow? I think that if there's an area that here at PGCC we can grow in praise, it would be in the second area, in choosing to engage with the process of praise. I look out on a Sunday morning, and I like look at you while we sing and stuff, and I see a room full of men and women who love God and are serving him with their hearts and their lives, and I guess my challenge would be, let's let that be seen. You know what I mean? Maybe a little more than we currently are. And I'm not talking about making a show. I'm not saying I want to see hands raised and clapping spontaneously, because I can't do that. I can't clap on beat. I wouldn't expect you to. But what I would like to see is that if you feel any joy, if you feel that there's any truth, maybe choose to show it on your face. And we need to work on that too as a praise team. But like, imagine having a lifestyle of praise. If you develop that for yourself, you become a leader. If somebody who is not familiar with the Lord, who doesn't belong to our family, walks through these doors and they would look around at all of you, you would have the opportunity to lead them in praise. And one of the biggest ways you do that is by showing the joy of the Lord on your face. So again, I'm not trying to, I hope that I'm communicating that well. It's not about a show. Sometimes we choose to show what is true. And the songs that we sing is saying truth, right? So if it's saying that there is something to be celebrating, then even if we don't feel celebratory, sometimes we choose that because it's right and it's truth. So that would be one thing. We can maybe grow in connecting our love and enjoyment, because that is what I know about you people. I know you love God. I know that you enjoy and delight in him. So maybe connect that feeling that you have with the expression of that feeling, if that makes sense. So I also just want to say before, I'm almost done, but before we're about to sing a song. Actually, the praise team can come up, because it seems like if this is what we're talking about, it'd be a good, let's exercise the praise muscle before we're done. But I feel, and I'm not trying to like speak any kind of prophetic word or anything, I just was connecting some dots this week, and on Tuesday, Vicki was talking about adoration at Women's Bible Study as part of the prayer process. And on Wednesday, with the students at Recharge, we were talking about rejoicing. And today, the topic was praise. And I'm not an expert when it comes to God, but I think that's him trying to tell us something. It seems to me that God's making this an issue for us right now. I think that he wants us to grow in this area or think about it or something. I don't know, but it seems like God is repeating himself. So let's not miss the message of what he's saying. So we're about to sing a song. We're going to sing 10,000 Reasons, which is an amazing song. And really, if you look at the words, this is what I want you to do, to apply what we've just talked about. We're going to stand, and we are going to sing things that are true about God, that are reasons for us to be rejoicing and celebrating. So choose to connect your mind, engage with this praise, and know that there is benefit in that for you, strengthening of your relationship with God and bringing yourself to the right size so that God can work his power through you more effectively. So let's practice it together. Would you stand?
Man, I like this morning. I've stirred my emotions just the whole entire morning. Thank you for teaching me. Thank you for teaching me. This morning there will be specific changes to my life because of this morning. And let's pray. God, we want to praise your name. I mean, not because we sang a song. We want to praise your name because you are the King of Kings. We want to lift you up. There is nothing in this life that is more valuable and more precious than knowing you. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for ICII, for Pastor Joseph. Thank you for praise and for Abby for leading us this morning. God, use us today. Please, God, give us the courage not to forget and not to apply to our life this morning. You're an amazing God. In Jesus' name, amen. Great, thanks for coming. She will be on the internet if you want to hear it again. He will not be. Just for security purposes.